You notice, as we begin the second week of Lent, we still are giving, you know, many instructions on what it means to live the Christian life. Opening up for us in another week or so is the whole understanding of what happened at the Passion, the motive for the Passion, the love, and who is it who suffers, and as well, an insight into the very heart of Jesus as he went through all of this. But so far, we've been given mostly instruction on how to live the Christian life. In other words, the church hopes that we'll have at least 40 days of normality during a year. At least for 40 days, we'll really try to be Christians, you know. And if we could keep it up, 41, 42, you know, 50, 80, it would be great. And that's the whole point. So today, we have instruction on two issues. One, we are given a prayer of repentance that is so beautiful. It comes from the book of Daniel, chapter 9, is a classic. Now, people who pray like this are people who know the Lord and who love him. And they pour out their heart, you see? Lord, great and awesome God, you who keep your merciful covenant toward those who love you, Ahav, your love means and faithful to what you want. See, who love you and observe your commandments. We have sinned, been wicked, and done evil. We have rebelled and departed from your commandments and your laws. We have not obeyed your servants, the prophets. The prophets in the canonical text, the prophets in our midst, we have not. You send these people to us, example, word, you know, care for the poor, look at Mother Teresa. You know, suffer for the truth, look at the martyrs, look at John Paul, look at, you see? We have not obeyed your servant, the prophets, who spoke in your name to all of us, huh? And then this wonderful line, justice, O Lord, is on your side. That phrase comes from the situation of a lawsuit. It's called a reeve. And there are two people usually arguing, and the judge is there trying to figure out what's really, you know, no, you know, you stole my cow. I never touched your cow. You know, I don't know who took your cow. It wasn't me. And the other one, and they're going back and forth. And the judge, it's a much more subtle and profound kind of jurisprudence than just looking it up in a book, you know. Finally, he says, Siddhakalacha, justice is on your side. So give him back his cow, or whatever. When it's between the Lord and ourselves, of course, then justice is always on his side. Repentance is saying, I don't have a leg to stand on. I've sinned. And if you don't have mercy on me, that's it. But I can count on that. You see? And so, you know, in the famous Psalm 51, against you alone have I sinned, and what is evil in your sight I have done, that you might be justified when you give sentence, meaning that you might be proven right. Siddhaka alaka. Justice is on your side, and I recognize. So I say to you, against you alone I have sinned, and what is evil in your sight I have done. Siddhakalacha, justice is on your side, God. So it's all mercy. I don't deserve anything. That's reality. Both parts are sin and God's mercy. And so this is such, you see, justice, O Lord, is on your side. We are shamefaced even to this day. We, men of Judah, the residents of Jerusalem and all Israel, near and far, when we look at our dear church, we're a mess. Finally recovering from pedophilia. 90% of the Catholic people in Congress vote pro-abortion. We're shamefaced. We've got to be. You see, sin is not just, well, you know, I stole a quarter, I better give it back. Yeah, you sure, you should. But We are a people. You see, God has made us a people. The heart of this people is the Catholic Church. Well, look at us. Can't we pray? Have mercy on us. Fix us up for the glory of your name. Can you imagine? If we ever really loved you and loved each other and really prayed, the whole world would change. They'd say, look, there really is a living God. And so, you see, that Daniel 9 is a great school of repentance. And we pay to the Holy Spirit, well, I don't remember. I didn't do anything wrong. Just go to ask the Holy Spirit, do I do anything wrong? And you'll get quite an instruction. But one that sets you free. You can always tell when the Holy Spirit is telling you you've sinned. Because there's freedom. Yeah, you're right. Thank God you finally stopped me. You know, it comes, it's free. There's peace. Our own self-condemnation and our own neurosis, it doesn't bring any peace. But the Holy Spirit, you're wrong there. I mean, really wrong. And you say, thank you. That's the Holy Spirit. See the difference? So it's a precious thing. Look at the way our Lord, two men went out to the temple to pray. And of course, we're all ready to identify with the guy in the back, you know, the good guy. Well, take a minute to look. When was the last time we really wept over our sins? When was the last time we ever really saw what they are? And see that through the eyes of the mercy of Jesus Christ. That's when people weep. Seeing our sins will just scare the bejeebers out of us. So we stay away from it. But seeing our sins in the light of the eyes of Christ, we weep. God, but we're free. That's the gift of tears, you know. We have all these charismatic gifts. I think we ought to pray for the gift of tears. It's a charismatic gift. Do you more good than tongues? Tongues is very helpful, but as Paul says, you know, we want ones that build up the body. It used to be a prayer in the old missal. It started off, oh God, you who could bring water out of a rock when Moses struck it, you could surely get some tears out of my eyes. It's not just the tears, you can, you know, slice an onion. You know, it's this, oh, your mercy and my sin. Do you see it? See, that's such a lesson. And then, in the gospel. This is what I mean about, here's the blocking and tackling of the Christian life. The basics. And we get them over and over and over again in Lent in the hopes that we'll catch on and change. So, here we have this text of our Lord about, and what does he go after? You know, stop judging. And you will not be judged. That's just good business. I mean, suppose I don't judge anybody ever. That means when I get to heaven, God's going to say, I'm not going to judge you either. Whoa. Isn't that worth it? And what's wrong with us? I was praying about that. Why do we judge all the time? Mostly fear. They're out to get me, or he's doing that, or she's doing that, and look at the way she's doing it, or whatever. And God goes after this so many times, you know, in the Gospels. Stop that. Do I do that? No. So why do you? And that's an enormous discipline. Stop judging. Well, how do you stop judging? You love. Inside your heart, you love. And you think that's easy? See, I'm not talking about a sentiment, I'm talking about love. It's hard. We want to go on judging. We want to go on finding fault. We want to go on and to stop that and to love and to pray for that person. If we started that, you know what would happen? We'd have constant prayer all day long. You know, we're judging all day long. Finally, we'd have a real life of prayer. We'd be praying all day. And every time one of those comes up, we'd, you know, foul off the pitch. You know, we'd, in a month, we'd have a life of prayer that would be daily and constant, like a fountain inside of us. And then the Lord says, and did you ever notice this? I was thinking of this, reading this, you know. Forgive and you'll be forgiven. Give in gifts, good measure. For the measure with which you measure will in return be measured out to you. Have you ever worked in an office where everything is a mess? Everybody hates everybody else. Everybody's finding fault. They're all backbiting. They're all complaining. They hate the boss. That's hell. A mini hell. That goes on in big time in hell. But you see what's happened? The measure you measure out is coming right back to you. You're judging A, B, C, D, E, F, and D, E, F, A, B, C are judging you. And so the atmosphere is a disaster. It can happen in a family. It can happen in a community. It's just a law. You dish out judgment, you're going to get judgment. Not just from God the day you die, but from everybody around you. You dish out love, forgiveness, you try, you die to self. Nobody notices. You know, you're not going to get a prize. Except God sees it. And he loves that. Now you're starting to look like my son. With his intelligence and infinite understanding, he's not judging anybody. So what's the antidote? Love. Now, you know, Lord, just stop it. The opposite is a den of vipers. Everybody biting everybody else. I was just, have you ever worked in an office like that? I worked in a department store like that for a while. Desastroso. I mean, everybody. There were two down in New York City. One was on 5th Avenue and 37th Street, and the other was up at Rockefeller Plaza. And the one at 5th Avenue and 37th was a mess. The one up in Rockefeller Plaza was really nice because of this law. So our challenge today in this gospel text, you see, is to say, I'm going to, and it's death to self. You start stopping, you know, stop judging and start loving. There's nothing in our poor fallen nature that wants to do that. It'd be nice if we were like nice people. But we're not. Whatever niceness we have is by the pure mercy of Jesus Christ, who would love to pour it out, so that we would really be one and love each other and build each other up and not judge. It must be serious if the Son of God takes time out to instruct us. Right? Must be something that we really do. You know, he doesn't say things like, stop eating too many carrots. Nobody eats too many carrots. You know, I don't like them. But I mean, he wouldn't do that. But stop judging. It must be that we really do that. And he's telling us, stop it. And then you won't be judged in this life or in the next. If you can start creating that environment, you know, there won't be that judgment and condemnation and jealousy and backbiting and blah, blah, blah that goes on. And then there will be peace. And then the Lord is there. And people are so attracted like bees to honey.